It's another year. The 15th anniversary of September 11, 2001. We're here. It is September 11, 2016. I'm your host, Doug Owen. Welcome to the show. I will definitely be revisiting 9/11 tonight. We have a lot of stuff to get through here in this one-hour program. The things that you need to be part of the show are, of course, the interactive portion of the website, blacklistedradio.com, where you can chat, where you can find exclusive content, all sorts of cool stuff out there. Big shout out to the people in the chat room, the proud and the brave that have joined us there. You can join the ambassadors. You can call in. Just go to the RBN website. I forget the number. I don't know if they have the 800 number ported yet, but there are live call-in numbers, so you can interact through a variety of ways. So big news today. We must talk about it. It is Hillary Clinton. She went to, of course, the memorial at Ground Zero, and it's big news. The mainstream media is in meltdown here in the United States, probably globally. She has apparently, according to the doctor's report, pneumonia, and basically Huma Abedin had to pull her. She looked like she was being dragged into a van. Her shoe fell off. She fainted. She looked like, you know, just somebody that probably has pneumonia. We've seen the coughing fits. They have become a meme, and the general interest in Hillary Clinton's health is at a all-time high, considering the mainstream media's coverage of those that cover her health. It's very trivial to me. I mean, people do get sick, and there's a million other things that make Hillary Clinton and, for that matter, Donald Trump pretty unelectable in my mind. Gary Johnson, the big Aleppo slip this week, didn't know what Aleppo was. And I doubt Gary Johnson has a lot of foreign policy experience, or really, I mean, it seems like he's kind of like riding the Libertarian Party train. He's the best known, not even really an ideological libertarian. I think he's pretty unelectable. Jill Stein, she probably has the most credibility out of all of them, but I'm definitely not a big fan of some of the left leanings of Jill Stein. But when it comes to, you know, the freedom to be able to put what you want in your body, vaccines, a lot of things, I do like her. So anyway, that's where we're at. People are freaking out. The mainstream media is freaking out about Hillary Clinton. And I guess, you know, we're at a point where that might make her unelectable. That might be the death knell, which is kind of ironic considering that she was at this ceremony for the fallen, the firefighters, all of the people that were there, victims of really, I mean, the country is a victim. We have global victimization of people because of the event that happened at September 11, 2001. But her being there, kind of ironic, maybe even symbolic. You know, I don't wish ill on anyone because, you know, if you're sick, there's just nothing. I would imagine, you know, there's not a lot that can be done, because if it could, she has the resources, the money, and the ability to pay for pretty expensive healthcare, unlike most Americans. So anyway, that's kind of what, you know, is the big talking point of the week. Politics, pretty interesting week for politics in general. Of course, the new alt-right meme, and the focus on the crazies, the people that vote for Trump or support Trump, being basically extremists, white supremacists. I mean, that whole push, that whole narrative from NBC, CBS, ABC has been apparent throughout the week. So a lot of violent, ugly things, untruths coming out of Hillary Clinton's mouth. And if you've been following the website, blacklistednews.com, we have a lot of coverage on the neoconservative movement that is really the foreign policy academia that are behind both candidates. So it's important to kind of talk about where we're at today, but it's really important to kind of look back. So as I thought about all the research that I wanted to bring forward tonight on the show, each and every anniversary of 9/11, I try to look at different angles. I talk about some of the obvious red flags, the huge gaping holes, the discredited debunkings that don't get a lot of mainstream media coverage. And this time, I went down the rabbit hole. I want to thank James Corbett for putting out a great series on the 9/11 suspects. If you haven't seen it, it's well worth watching. He looks at Bob Baer. He looks at Philip Zelikow, it's got a weird name. The man who basically covered up 9/11. He had a narrative, and they did not divert from it. But some of the interesting connections kind of went down a old memory lane with some of the things that have been discredited in the mainstream media. Not discredited, but they're just not given credit by the mainstream media, and that is the Kissinger, Bush, and of course Thomas Keene, head of the 9/11 commission's ties to Osama bin Laden. And when you go back and you look at the BCCI banking scandal, you look at how that came to be under the Carter administration. You look at the direct funding of the Mujahideen through BCCI, which interestingly, George Herbert Walker Bush had a bank account there. You keep going back and look at the framework, and it takes you, really for me, I think that you really see deep state politics, false flag terrorism during the 1970s, really after the Vietnam War. The U.S. was on a ideological campaign to fight communism, to fight Russia, and that led to the organization of a little-known group. There was actually a really good book that came out recently about the Safari Club. So I think it's worth talking about these intelligence agencies and how they came to be at a place where they're financing, training, working with intelligence agencies, shadow banking corporations, industries to promote economic U.S. development and to ultimately get the people in charge that they wanted. They couldn't do this because Congress had pretty much tied Kissinger's hands during the investigation of Richard Nixon. The CIA was being called in front of Congress, so it was really hard to get anything done in their minds. So the Safari Club is something well worth looking into. It was an alliance of intelligence services formed in 1976 to fight the Cold War in Africa. Its formal members were Iran, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Israel, Morocco, and France, and the group maintained informal connections to the United States. Henry Kissinger was a principal partner here. They had a lot to do with the Egypt peace treaty, allegedly. That's some of the nicer things that you can glean from the impact. But of course, the massacres in Chile, the U.S. fighting in Angola secretly, and then straight forward to Iran-Contra. So a lot of this started under the Carter administration, where you really saw the solidification and the private profiteering by former CIA head Herbert Walker Bush, Dick Cheney, Don Rumsfeld, and all the people that were power players. Fast forward, you have Noriega, you have Panama, you have the conquistadors, or the funding of the Iran, or not Iran, but the Contras in South America. And, well, you push right into the Bush administration. So during that time, during the early 90s, that's when the BCCI scandal came out, and that was where we found that the U.S. was financing, supporting the Mujahideen, you know, now Al-Qaeda, Al-Nusra Front, and some of those, you know, founders of those intelligence agencies, intelligence agency-influenced groups fighting the Russians. So when it comes to these connections, it was interesting because Henry Kissinger, after 9/11, was the first choice to be the head of the 9/11 investigation. And the only reason I think that they had the ill-funded $3 million allotment was because of the victims' families. And during the vetting of Henry Kissinger, one of the ladies asked him, you know, do you have any connections to the bin Laden family? It was at that point that Henry Kissinger decided to recuse himself from this duty because of the conflict of interest. So Osama bin Laden's brother-in-law was a very interesting character. He had a lot of business ties through a corporation called Delta Hess, oil exploration, and the like, business ties directly to Bush, Keene, and Henry Kissinger. So Keene was just as compromised, another CFR crony. Much of this, James covered pretty well. But so, you know, it's interesting because you look at the backers, this secret rogue element that would have conducted 9/11. I think it's hard for a lot of people to believe that people would do something so sinister. But, you know, you can go to the philosophy of the neoconservatives, the Israeli-funded think tanks, like the Project for a New American Century, and you can get the gist of this, and that is to parade and overthrow governments, not necessarily the greatest governments, dictatorships like Iraq, but also a forward move into, of course, Northern Africa. Mineral interests, oil interests, business opportunities, economic interests are all part of the equation in this this ideology for the expansion of the U.S. interests through neoliberalism. Loans, development banks, all of that is intertwined in this very deep system. And so bin Laden, he was a known CIA asset. Obviously, his allegiances to the U.S. and to his own family, who had a deep economic interest with the U.S., is just one of the many things that the especially U.S. media would not like to cover. And of course, you know, that's one of the things. It's just it's overwhelming. I try my best just not to interact socially on the internet, not to look at Facebook or Twitter on 9/11, because you get inundated with this blind patriotism that is, when you look at the aftermath beyond the connections, beyond the questionability of the official version of 9/11, you have this just ooze fest for nationalism in the state and praising those that have arrived out of a $1 trillion investment in the militarization, federalization, and centrally controlled U.S. security apparatus, the Department of Homeland Security, all of those things. So $1 trillion later, how secure are we? How many of those wars have been successful? How many of those populations have benefited? How many of them have actually seen true democracy arise from the ashes out of the chaos that was the Iraq War. Well, we have 4 million Muslims in counting, and that's just Middle Eastern Muslims, not even counting Christians. Not that people do, but really. So, I mean, just this huge amount of death, destitution that has come out of this, the bombardment of economic and, infrastructure in these countries, the life support, the life grid is just devastating. So, I think a lot of the people say, well, if you think 9/11 was an inside job, first off, you're a crackpot. Second off, you're looking for some way to escape this seemingly destructive and nonsensical act. And by blaming the government, it makes you feel better. I've heard all of the psycho babble around conspiracy theories, and you're going to hear more of it, I'm sure, in the coming days. But nonetheless, the direct economic ties. I was talking with Ken, the producer, before the show, and I said one of the things that really woke me up to 9/11, I have to give credit to him, is Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 9/11 documentary. And the moment I found out that Bush, actually the president of the United States, or it might have been the defense secretary, but a cabinet level positionary said, hey, let bin Laden's family fly out of the country. Meanwhile, the rest of the nation was grounded from flying. I mean, wow. I mean, that seems pretty guilty right there. So, I mean, of course, when you start looking at the physical evidence, when it comes to the physics of 9/11, we'll talk about that. There's more problems with the story. But anyway, so Delta Hess was this partnership, and Kissinger established this for the oil exploration in the Caspian Sea in 1998. During this time, they registered it in the Cayman Islands. Nothing shady about that. Hess ended up taking on, of course, very shady clientele and wanted absolute secrecy. And this has only come to light in the last few years. So anyway, Delta Hess was this interesting group that was controlled by Khalid bin Mahfouz, Osama bin Laden's brother-in-law, and former Governor Thomas Keene, who not only sat on the board of directors of the company, which has these dealings with Mahfouz, he ended up being the head of the 9/11 commission. So, I mean, wow. What a coincidence. What a small, small world. And meanwhile, of course, it looks horrible. It would look horrible if most people knew about this. So Kurt Nemu, who now writes for Blacklist News, did a great write-up. The cover-up continues 15 years on. It's one of the top articles at blacklistednews.com. Just looking for it here. Yeah, and he really tied that all together with the BCCI Bank and some of these investments. Huge red flag. So on 9/11, there is actually something new. If you didn't hear about this, there's a physics study that recently proved that 9/11 was an inside job, according to four gentlemen. We'll talk about them and continue the coverage. So much more. It's Blacklisted Radio.
Do you have have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong part, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. It's Blacklisted Radio. It's September 11th, 2016, 15th anniversary of that tragic day that changed the world forever. You hear that all the time, and it's so true. I mean, it was a catalyzing moment that has changed the way the political landscape. It has created, I think, a real political awakening in this country, in that you have more people that are politically aware, whether they're fighting or bickering on Facebook, and then unless you have more and more people that are, understanding and being able to reach a wide spectrum of viewpoints through the internet and through, I think, the general discontent and the distrust that people now have for the government. That's why there are millions of people that question 9/11. There are millions of people out there that are activists that try to bring attention to it, regardless of how that may be received. You know, I thought it was interesting. You had the Seattle Seahawks, and of course, this started out of Colin Kaepernick's not standing during the national anthem that brought attention, I guess, or really a statement being made by an athlete, a professional athlete, that looked at, police brutality, problems that we have in what they call communities of color, injustice, racial injustice, which, I mean, we've had in this country, we've had on planet Earth and still have today, not just here, but but everywhere. Go to Italy and see how they feel about the people from Roma. Nah, not very good. So we have just a bevy of information that, you know, we want to share with friends and family. I think that it's kind of important to kind of, you know, test the waters, talk to people, especially ones that you love and care about. And you know, there's people in my family that I don't broach with the topic, but it shouldn't be taboo. And 15 years later, at least it's more approachable when it comes to you know, some of the, you know, the evidence. And even when I think that, you know, 9/11 truth, quote unquote, proverbial 9/11 truth, kind of hit its peak was during the release of the 9/11 loose change series by Dylan Avery and the crew. And so you have, I think that was where we really saw kind of crescendo of interest. And then, you know, this is what, 7-8 years later. I mean, so many more things have come to light. So much more has been written. And we found out through the 28 pages, we found out through a lot of recent publications that there's even more that could be put into, you know, an epic 9/11 truth video, if you will. But anyway, interesting. We have this European scientific journal that has concluded 9/11 was a controlled demolition. The European Scientific Journal, a publication of the European Scientific Institute, published an article titled 15 years later on, the physics of the high-rise building collapses, in which they analyzed the World Trade Center buildings and specifically Building 7. They indicate that the towers were destroyed by controlled demolition. The fact this is a controversial topic was actually covered by a publication that boasts an editorial community, or committee rather, of reputable colleges and universities around the world. Despite the article's disclaimer, can be considered yet another small victory for the 9/11. I hate to use the term truther because it gets, you know, it's definitely not a good word, because it makes you sound like you're a birther or a bircher or some other, you know, group of people that can be, you know, identified and silenced, ostracized from political discourse on the internet. Anyway, so huge story. You have a lot of that forework being done by groups like Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. You know, reputable people, not crazy conspiracy theorists that, you know, wear tinfoil hats. You have a lot of things that don't make a lot of sense. And, well, on the other side, we'll talk about Abel Danger, another really interesting aspect of the 9/11 cover-up. On the other side, it's Blacklist Radio.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Baiano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. At www.bugoutpanama.net.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Are you tired of brown rust stains on your toilets, sinks, and clothes? Does your water smell and taste bad? Don't live with these problems anymore. HydroCare's revolutionary well water systems, available at Wave Home Solutions, gives you clean, healthy, great-tasting water from every faucet. They remove iron, hydrogen sulfide, sediment, and many other contaminants that are distasteful and damaging your fixtures. You'll be amazed how fresh and clean well water can be. Satisfaction guaranteed. Go to bestwater123.com. That's bestwater123.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Blacklisted Radio. So, you know, one of the things that really compelled me to look into the 9/11 attacks was, of course, the research I had done on Muhammad Atta, the Flying Circus. Daniel Hopsicker, great writer, Mad Cow Morning News, did an extensive research, put out several books about the hijackers, and finding out that we actually had Indian and Iranian intelligence picking up on the wiring of money to Muhammad Atta. The immediate question is, well, why didn't we follow the money? Why was that not of interest? Why was it not a real investigation into the plotters? It seems as if the powers that be, the Bush administration, didn't care about the truth and wanted to use 9/11 to catapult it into a war in Afghanistan that has been going on for 40 years. Just, looking at the history, the U.S. never really left, went clandestine for many years, but to Iraq as well. So those are, real questions that people today should be asking. Besides all the physics of 9/11, some of that's a little too geeky. Sometimes, it's overwhelming with the amount of YouTube videos. Think back when YouTube first came to be. And that was when we saw the real catapult, I think, of 9/11 truth, where we actually had the ability to upload videos, documentaries, and people binged, watched thousands of hours of stuff on 9/11. So anyway, one of the more fascinating and often not talked about aspects is Able Danger. That's an operation that Anthony Shaver actually headed up, and Able Danger was basically the tracking and monitoring of these hijackers, several of the 19 hijackers from Saudi Arabia that were of interest to the U.S. government. Nobody wanted to talk to Anthony Shaver. He was basically completely neutralized, wasn't able to talk to the 9/11 Commission. Afterwards, I think in 2006, a book came out, and they looked into quote-unquote Able Danger, and it was of no interest. Just like, well, CBS Media, I watched, tell me that the 28 pages that connects the Saudi Arabians' intelligence assets to 9/11 is of no interest. So really, 9/11 truth was of no interest to the administration or the mainstream media. And that's why you have, well, I think you have a divergence. People that are now realizing for the first time, maybe ever, that the media is not trustworthy, looking into things like the most compelling of all of the physical specimens, and that is Building 7. I'm not going to talk about it a lot. Most people have watched, you know, probably hours of information about Building 7. But then, you know, there's a compounding of evidence happening that shows that buildings just don't fall down into their own basements. And that brings forward, you know, more questions for, you know, who and how 9/11 was orchestrated, who were the real perpetrators, and who were those that benefited. So Osama bin Laden, interesting guy. Joe, I might mingle his name, Gabroni, put out a really interesting article on his website, Political Film Blog. He said, you probably didn't hear about this from your corporate media, that those 28 pages concerning the Saudi state support to the September 11th suicide hijackers have been released to the public. Or if you had, you would have most likely heard about the Saudi spin published widely and parroted by Barack Obama's spokespeople that the pages don't mean anything. One might ask, of those 28 pages, if they didn't mean anything in the first place, why would you cover them up for 15 years until the population mostly forgot about them? And that is a great question. This September 11th, if you actually read the pages yourself, they might wind up meaning quite a lot to you, couched in the congressional weasel words may have being repeatedly used throughout. The report is a shocking eye-opener. It was likely the catalyst for the September 9th unanimous House of Representatives vote to pass the JASTA, the Justice Against Sponsors of Terrorism Act. A single paragraph from the long-censored Congressional Joint Inquiry chapter should be very interesting. It conveys a sense of the disgraceful cover-up as it stands. So Basnan was a close associate of a guy named Bayoumi and a few other accomplices. I just love reading the names because – and that's why I think half – I would say 15% of the reason that you don't see a lot of coverage is because journalists are embarrassed of not saying or pronouncing names correctly. But this is Bakr Bashat, Omar – another one for the hijackers. They were close associates. He also lived across the street from the hijackers and made a comment to an FBI individual that he met Al-Hazmi through this character and then later met the two hijackers. Well, anyway, it goes on and it provides this very interesting look at how the U.S. government was completely aware, and in Anthony Shaver's, you know, testimony, it just really coincides in it with what happened in the 28 pages. And that is Saudi financiers directly connected to the hijackers. They were financed. And of course, the fact that 15 years on, the U.S. government has done everything they can to keep the details of this arrangement. A cover-up for the Saudis, some people say, to continue to get that glut of oil that we enjoy, to use them as an ally, because they are part of the, you know, Israeli, U.S., Jordanian, Middle East, that has been an agenda, really. I mean, since we saw the, you know, 1967 war of Egypt, that's gone on. So anyway, just another interesting note. And, you know, I think that, you know, where we're at, unfortunately, is that there is conclusive evidence pointing to these connections, pointing to the physical impossibility that these buildings came down in the manner that they did at practical free fall level. Beyond that, the connections financially between George Bush and the perpetrators of this directly, Henry Kissinger, all of them. Interesting piece came out of Who, What, Why by Russ Baker, and he has a great list of the 9/11 known knowns. So it's pretty unbiased. The money trail was never followed to its logical conclusion. The 9/11 Commission concluded the question of who funded the attacks was of little practical significance, as we see why. The Bush White House pushed back against any independent investigation into 9/11. Once the White House agreed to an independent investigation, it provided a budget of $3 million, or 27% of the amount requested by the co-chairs, Thomas Keene and Lee Hamilton. The Bush White House, their first choice to lead the commission was Henry Kissinger, under intense pressure due to conflicts of interest, because he's a business partner of Osama bin Laden's brother-in-law. He resigned. The 9/11 Commission was compromised by having White House policy advisor Philip Zelikow as the executive director. He was alleged to have been in close contact with controversial White House chief of staff Karl Rove throughout the entire investigation. Yeah, they put on a show, the Karl Rove. He's the guy that I think is most known for, at least in my mind, for saying that, you know, politics is theater. We are the actors. You are the viewers. We will judge what they do through history, kind of thing. Basically saying we do stuff and we just tell you whatever. And then, you know, maybe in some book, maybe in some academic white paper, 30 years from now, you'll figure out who the bad guy was, what we were doing, all of that. So anyway, yeah, total show, S show. 9/11 Commission, the only independent investigation into the greatest terror attack in U.S. history, began with a particularly benign mandate. The preface to the report asserted, "Our aim has not been to assign individual blame, but to identify lessons learned." Right. We don't want to go after those who targeted us. We just want to, put together a new manual. A new post 9/11 manual to stop things like this from happening. Saudi agents, some with ties to the White House, sent financial and logistical support to the men who provided that support to the hijackers. That's according to the Congressional 2002 Joint Inquiry Report, multiple media accounts, and at least one FBI agent who worked on 9/11 cases. Huge. The efforts to further investigate Saudi nationals were resisted by the White House and CIA over and over again. As to why, we know now. Indian intelligence cooperated with the FBI, showed a wire transfer of $100,000 from the phone of Pakistan's inter-services intelligence chief Mahmoud Ahmed to the 9/11 lead hijacker Mohammed Atta in 2000. It was huge. Ahmad also reported that He was in Washington, D.C. on the morning of the attacks, meeting with U.S. lawmakers. Same time, the Carlyle Group, which I don't think we'll have time to get into tonight, but one of the many shadow financiers of the CIA and other CIA-connected people like the Bushes that were giving a presentation on investing in security and terror deterrent. And voila, you had 9/11. The $100,000 transaction was never mentioned in the 9/11 Commission report, and Ahmad was never detailed for questioning. The 28 pages from a redacted chapter of the 2002 joint inquiry reported into the attacks, we were told, had nothing to do with national security, but national security was the very reason given for withholding them for 14 years by both George Bush and Obama. Those 28 pages were partially released in 2016, but were still heavily redacted. Multiple overlapping war game drills created some level of confusion for the North American Aerospace Defense Command, NORAD, and the Northeast Air Defense Sector needs. On the morning of the attacks, around noon on 9/11, air traffic controllers who handled some of the hijacked flights made a recording recalling their experiences of the events a few hours earlier. The tape was later destroyed by an unidentified FAA supervisor without any transcripts taken. Would have been very interesting. In the days before 9/11, highly abnormal levels of put options, bets on the stock prices falling, were in place on major U.S. stock markets, not only for the airlines involved, but also for multiple financial giants that suffered huge losses in the attacks. The SEC's investigation into those irregularities gave little details for their benign conclusion that all trades were legitimate and curiously destroyed all of those records. Many of those other records of financial securities fraud, SEC fraud, went up in smoke in Building 7, I would add. Blaming Iraq was the talking point advanced by the Bush administration within days of the attacks. Later, multiple reports surfaced alleging that the neocons who made up the Hawkish Project for a New American Century think tank and the Bush administration had been planning and discussing the need to publicly justify an invasion into 9/11 and Afghanistan long, long before 9/11. Iraq had absolutely nothing to do with 9/11. Opium production used to make heroin in Afghanistan plummeted under the Taliban rule in 2001, but ballooned when U.S. forces retook control of the region. Now, it's all about God, gold, oil, drugs. In the late 1990s, the U.S. supported the Taliban and its agenda for a unified Afghanistan. 3 years before 9/11, U.S. oil giant Unocal pulled out of a long negotiated deal to build natural gas and oil pipelines through the region from the resource-rich Caspian Basin south to the Indian Ocean. Skeptics insist that the U.S. government and Unocal suddenly saw the Taliban, which provided a base of operations for Al-Qaeda, as an obstacle to those pipeline plans. So, sure, Henry Kissinger in on that deal. The aforementioned, this by no means is a full list of inadequately investigated facts surrounding 9/11, that from Russ Baker. So, I mean, that just scratches the surface. But I think that those are the most compelling. I know a lot of people, myself included, I think that you want to find interest. Sometimes, reading pages from engineers and architects from 9/11, things that are really physics related or just outside of my mathematic comprehension. I took pre-cal, calculus 1. I did really bad. Calculus 2, I did not finish. But I didn't need to for the for the course or for that semester. So tried my best. So those things aren't necessarily compelling. And so you have, I think, a lot of things like, the pods on the bottom of the planes, of course, the question of directed energy weapons, media fakery, fake planes, no planes, micro nukes, Even thermite, which is pretty compelling. The tests, the samples, some of that evidence. The question of the chain of custody is always there. But the samples that were taken from the air, from the apartment that, can't think of his name, Stephen Jones, I think it is. No, not Stephen Jones. But the gentleman from Brigham Young that, maybe it was Stephen Jones basically brought all of the research forward with, test with thermite. So anyway, a lot of stuff I think that people should be questioning on this 15th anniversary, and hopefully we'll get some of those out there into the narrative. We have one more segment. Still time if you'd like to be part of it. You can text me 512-222-3067. It's Blacklisted Radio.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The 5 tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Final segment here on this 15th anniversary of September 11, 2001. All of the crimes, all of the death, genocide that has transpired since that day, for the most part, could have been prevented. I think today it would be much harder to get away with something like that. I don't think people would quite be as, I'd like to think anyway, as easily emotionally and psychologically victimized as they were on that day, as most of us. And so regardless of what you think really happened when it comes to 9/11. There are huge, obvious problems with the story. It was a massive cover-up from start to finish, whether or not the Bush administration, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Henry Kissinger, BCCI funded groups like BDM, BAE Systems, SAIC, private contractors are involved. Whether you think it was any of the other, you know, maybe more sexy ideas, you know, directed energy weapons, it really doesn't matter, because we can all agree that we've been lied to, and we cannot allow the same people, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, you know, to direct this country towards more of that. The only thing that really can stop that is a gut check by the people. And I think that that's what we have. We have more politically aware people now because of 9/11. Of course, we have a huge security state, police state. We are not safer. We have the rise of ISIS. We have all the things that we are told almost daily that we need to be scared of. You know, Kim Jong-un and the North Korean nukes, things that justify the need for people to submit to having their civil liberties limited in this country for a permanent war state. You know, just, what was it, 2 weeks ago? Barack Obama, without much fanfare, reauthorized the emergency, terrorist emergency, national security directive. Saying that we're in a state of emergency that is a continuation from George W. Bush. Now, 15 years on, the idea that this was a war that could ever be won, I think for most people now is pretty evident that it cannot be. It's a never-ending war. There is no enemy. It's ideologies and lots of boogeymen that end up with U.S. weapons. Lots of bad people out there that get the wrong idea. Like the now new leader of ISIS is the U.S. Trained fellow, the Chechen rebel. I mean, you know, we had al-Baghdadi, another bad guy. He's another one of these Manchurian candidates that comes straight from Abu Ghraib, straight from Gitmo Bay. How odd it is. So the close relations with power players and those that do us harm, you know, think about the attempted Reagan assassination by Hinckley, you know, just a few days ago, eating with the Bushes. How ironic. It's crazy stuff. It's coincidence in the minds of many. But if you listen to this show for any amount of time and you enjoy it, you probably don't think that. Guys, take care this week. Enjoy your friends, family, the fall weather, fall crops. Get out there. Do what you do. Remain relevant. And I will be back next Sunday evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time for another live edition of Blacklisted Radio. I hope you will as well.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's N-U-M-A-N.
NNARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.